Welcome into the whole show on this Monday morning, fifth day of June. And we're talking about a Nuggets loss in the NBA Finals last night. Not only is it their first home loss, but obviously, this is the first time the Nuggets have not started 2-0 in the playoffs, in a playoff series this year. So I guess, you know, Miami's a good team. Listen, we watched them do this throughout the course of the playoffs. Every time they were counted out, they would come back and do something crazy. They beat Milwaukee and New York and Boston. So this is a team that can put some things together. They can once they figure out a series, they can play pretty damn good basketball. And we saw that last night. Miami wins 111-108. Let's get right into it. I like to go with anytime you get the controversial finish thing, that's where I want to go first. Should Michael Malone have called a timeout? Now, let me ask, on a scale from 1 to 10, Angel, how good of a look did Jamal Murray have? Because when I asked the question last night, a lot of people were like, yeah, he got a good look. Was that a good look or was it a look?
I thought it was a decent look.
It's a decent look.
With players like Jamal and, you know, guys that can make those big-time buzzer-beater shots, you can't really tell them, hey, I need you to be here, or I need you to be a foot closer when you shoot it. It's really just, can you feel it? Can you get to your whatever spot you want? Can you get a good look at the basket, and can you get vertical to get your jump shot? And I think Jamal did that. I think he makes that shot 9 out of 10 times. That was just the 10th one.
I'm good with not calling a timeout, I guess, because a lot of times you call a timeout and it messes with the rhythm.
It takes you out of the game mode where your mindset, you're firing, you know, constantly, and it also gives the Heat a chance to get some breath, some air,
and figure out how they want to defend it. Yeah,
and they're one of the better, you know, transition zone defenses out there.
Defensively for Denver, couldn't stop the three. That was bad. We continue to see games where what is Joker averaging in losses in these playoffs? Isn't it 40 plus points in losses? They've lost four games now. And I think in those losses, he gets like 40.
They're 0-3 when he scores 40 points in the playoffs.
That stat is actually one of those. There's a lot of times you see stats like that I just ignore. But that is a stat that actually makes sense, because this team is at their best when they're getting involved, when KCP is in a rhythm and Jamal's getting going and Michael Porter Jr. is in a rhythm. Aaron Gordon, you saw what he did in game one as opposed to what he did in game two. He's sick. That might have something to do with it. I'll talk about that in a moment. But this team very much relies on Nikola Jokic passing and facilitating. And I love when we see him just go after it and he has 41 points and he's in dominate territory. I love that. But I also know that it can't just be that. There were times, and I'll say this, man, and I never thought I'd say this, but there were times when Nikola Jokic, I thought he took on the double and went at it, and it was amazing. He was in takeover mode. But there were times I looked over and thought, there's Porter in the corner. He's going to hit him. Instead, Joker took it, got the two. Hard to complain, because everybody trusts Nikola Jokic. But there were times in this game last night, especially late, where it felt like Joker was just going at the rim. And I'm not putting it on Joker. I'm just saying that there were those times where it felt like the passing lanes were open.
I know Malone had mentioned it that, you know, he had asked the guys about, you know, why did we lose this game? And they told him they didn't have the effort there. Or, you know, he mentioned something about guys feeling sorry for themselves, that shots weren't going down. And you kind of got that vibe from the start when it started off 10-2. You sense that this team was not mentally checked in all the way just yet. And I think if you start off that way, it's easy to not trust your teammates. And, you know, it's one thing to say everyone trusts Jokic, But it's another thing when Jokic realizes, I can't trust Mike tonight. Right. I can't trust KCP tonight.
Yeah. That's a good point. Because
and it's tough because with MPJ, you know he's wide open. He's going to make one. He just needs to make one.
Well, and this is what I've gone back and forth with on Malone with MPJ all season and into the playoffs. Is, yeah, most of the time it's good. But there are times where I'm just like, why aren't you figuring out how to utilize this weapon better?
It just seems like when MPJ struggles, Malone's quickest solution is get off the court and just sit down until we can figure something out.
Or when you're on the court, just stand over there. You know, you're not that's what, and I'm not saying it's easy. It's on the players too. But I would like to see Michael Porter Jr., we can all agree, is a freak of nature, right? The guy has an amazing shot, but shooters shoot. They need to get into a rhythm. And I don't feel like, I feel like there's been great things that Porter has done in these playoffs, but that's defensively and rebounding. You know, he's made some key shots. But I still look at the situation and I'm still bothered by how Michael Malone uses Michael Porter Jr.
We've seen in games in this playoffs where Michael, when he gets like 3-4 shots in the first quarter, whether it's a three, a layup, or whatever, when he just is going to the basket and getting the ball out of his hands quickly, that's when he finds his rhythm. It's when you're trying to force Mike to shoot the ball is where he kind of feels like that pressure, like, oh, I know the ball is coming to me. I got to shoot it. Where otherwise, it's just natural for him. He's just catch, shoot, all right.
He looked unsure of himself even when he had those opportunities. He, you know, there is a move I believe Kevin Love played up on him. Porter does a quick pump fake. Looks like he's going to drive to the rim, but then he pulls up and
shoots. Well,
they're
not jumping at his pump fakes.
Yeah, but even this time, though, he got the space he needed. Instead of a sidestep shot like we've seen him do or driving to the rim, he pulled up, you know, at the free throw line extended and that's just, he had a lane, and he just looked unsure of himself. And that, a lot of times, that comes from not being involved. If you're not involved in a game, you're unsure of yourself when you do get the ball in your hands.
Well, then you put yourself in the way of others.
Yeah. So, again, it's one loss, but you look at, and I can't believe it, but Michael Malone, I mean, sitting up there, we got it, we'll play in a little bit, but talking about effort right now, I mean, they didn't give effort. There were moments where it was obvious. Defensively, they couldn't guard the three. They didn't look like they had any interest in guarding the three, especially in the fourth.
People are going to freak out about, oh, this team, they've given up or they've checked out already after one game. That's all they want. No, this is their first time in this environment. The Heat, they've been to the championship. They've been to the finals before. They know what it's like when the fourth quarter gets tight. The Nuggets, they don't know that, and they have to learn it, and a part of learning it is doing it, you know, getting over the second round hump. It took 3 years of getting beat in the second round to finally learn how to get past it.
So what's your panic level? That's the tight-knit brewing poll question of the day, scale of 0 to 10, 10 being they're done. What's your panic level?
Two.
I'm like a 1.5.
Like a low two. Because
they're going to kill him Wednesday.
This team immediately recognizes what they did wrong. They know what they need to do. It's just about execution.
I don't trust Jamal Murray fully yet. But I trust that
trust
when
him
he,
with what?
That he's going to be a consistently good player. Great player. I don't trust that he is playoff Murray all the time. You saw it last night. He disappeared. He was gone in the first. In the second, went off, gone in the third, had some key threes, some key baskets late in the fourth. But I don't trust him fully to sit here and tell you that, yeah, for the rest of the series, Jamal's got that out of his system. He's going to be good. However, he has given me enough throughout these playoffs to trust him a little more, meaning I think he's going to bounce back Wednesday and have one of those games.
Well, I don't think you can knock Jamal for his effort because he still put up a double-double last night. Yeah, it's 18 and 10.
I'm not knocking his effort.
It's
just
not great.
I said game one, I said this Friday when I jumped in to fill in a little bit between the games. I said, Jamal Murray, when he's on, he does look like Kobe. The problem is Kobe always looked like Kobe. And Jamal didn't look like Kobe most of that game last night.
I think this team, since we keep throwing around, they're such a team. They're so, you know, connected, and so they know each other so well. Is it crazy to say when one guy is just down on his luck or feeling bad for himself, that doesn't feed off into everybody? You can have KCP and DeAndre dropping, you know, veteran advice and stuff, but if a guy's just feeling bad for himself, you can't do much. It's on him at that point. And if you're going to pout and you're going to sit on the bench, you're going to stay on the bench.
Michael Malone said that they were feeling sorry for themselves, guys that weren't hitting shots. Who was that? Was it KCP?
I would probably say KCP and Mike.
Hmm.
And that's interesting because they're so different in terms of where they're at mentally. KCP knows what he needs to bring to win a championship. Mike is, you know, I praised his mentality last week about where his mindset is, but he's still a young guy. Yeah. He's still in his young 20s.
He still has these moments where you just go, that's not what winners do. I'll tell you what. You know who's a winner that just doesn't have it yet, but he's a winner mentality? It's Christian Brown. That's a guy that he had 11. He had what? He had 6 points. He's not going to light up the scoreboard right now. Not his rookie year. But he goes out there and he puts the effort in. He gets some offensive rebounds, some steals, some good passes. Heady basketball player. Made some nice little shots early. Changed the momentum of that game in the second, because the Nuggets didn't come out to play, as you said, in the first. In the second, Christian Brown, you get him some more, some better ability, shooting ability and all. If that happens, I don't know if it'll happen. But that's the mentality that you need. You need Michael Porter Jr. to have that mentality. And that's what I think Malone has tried to coach into him for the past few years. But Christian Brown earned himself some minutes last night.
How do you coach Mike, telling him you need to be an attacker, you need to have that mindset, while also staying within your role as the shooter?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. Because you're right. Malone will go to, you're just going to go grab some bench and we're going to give Bruce Brown a hell of a lot more minutes. Or when you're on the floor, you're not really part of the design. You're there for the open shot if it comes available. But you're not like Aaron Gordon working for a shot. You're not Jamal Murray who can work for a shot. But I feel like Malone was doing that with Porter, was coaching him the right way. Hey, if it's not your night, it's not your night, but you got to show it defensively and on the glass. And I felt like Porter has been that guy through most of these playoffs. But then you see, when you get a loss like that, it's only their fourth, you're going to start picking at it. But the Nuggets had a shot late. But this is what happens when you don't. You know, you don't storm out the gates at home. You have a lot of turnovers early. You're not getting the guys involved. Joker's trust is gone. He stopped trusting. You're right. He stopped trusting his teammates last night. And he took matters into his own hands. Let's get to the good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, go to fmsbank.com/KFKA. Okay, the good is this. Even though this isn't the winning formula for the Nuggets, Nikola Jokic continues to be that good and that dominant. 41 points for him. 11 rebounds, but also only 4 assists. And that isn't 100% on Nikola Jokic. It's also on his teammates. The bad is it's a loss. It's their first one at home. It's the first time in a series this year that they've started 1-1. They started 2-0. Every series before, are we worried? Panic time. This is something Denver hasn't faced this season. And now that they've arrived to being a contender, this is something they've never faced. They've never faced this in the history of their franchise. How will they handle it? The ugly is Aaron Gordon was sick last night. He was so sick, he couldn't go talk to the media. They had to keep him away. Is that something to be concerned with? We know that Martin was sick too. There's some kind of bug going around, and hopefully it doesn't affect Gordon. And maybe that did affect him last night, because he wasn't the same Gordon we saw in game one. And there's the good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. 20 minutes after the hour. Excited for this guest coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, Adam Carriker. He was a first round pick by the St. Louis Rams back in 2007. They're putting on a football camp at the Loveland Sports Park, And you can get your kids involved. You want your kids to get trained by NFL, former NFL players, coaches, the current linebacker coach for the Broncos, Greg Minuski. I mean, these guys are going to get you guys ready to rock and roll. So we'll talk about that later on. 11:21 the time. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The Greeley Stampede is almost here. Join Brian Gary and Tanner Schwint for Rodeo Radio this June on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Well, I don't think that's the biggest question. Now, let's talk about effort. I mean, this is NBA Finals, and we're talking about effort. That's a huge concern of mine. You know, and you guys probably thought I was just making up some storyline after game one when I said we didn't play well. We didn't play well. And tonight, you know, that the starting lineup to start the game is 10-2 Miami. Start the third quarter. They scored 11 points in 2 minutes and 10 seconds. And we just got, you know, we had guys out there that were just whether feeling sorry for themselves for not making shots or thinking they can just turn it on or off. This is not the preseason. This is not the regular season. It's not round. This is the NBA Finals. And that, to me, is really, really perplexing, disappointing. And I asked the team. I asked our players, you guys tell me why we lost. And they knew the answer. Miami came in here and outworked us. And we were by far our least disciplined game of these 16 or 17 playoff games, whatever it is now. So many breakdowns. And they exploited every one of those breakdowns and scored. So if we're going to try to go down there and regain control of this series and get home court advantage back, we're going to have to outwork Miami, which we didn't do tonight, and our discipline is going to have to be off the charts.
There's Michael Malone talking about the effort in this game two last night as the Nuggets dropped it, 111-108. Okay, when we talk about what will their adjustment be from game one to game two, how will they defend Nikola Jokic? They didn't double him. They kept going with the Cody Zeller thing, and you know Kevin Love gets the start. Nobody could guard Joker. So that was the poison that they picked, and it worked. That's not really a game plan. Hey, let's just let the guy score 41, try to D him up, but we're not going to do a lot of crazy doubles. We're going to just try to go straight up there and take away the passing lanes and not let everybody else beat us. Well, that was, you know, Spoelstra was asked about that, and he said, nah, it's not really that simple. But is it? I mean, Angel, you're telling me that when Joker scores 40-plus in these playoffs, they're 0-3? Is it that simple? When Joker is ball dominant and he is scoring 40, meaning the ball is in his hands more than the ball is in everybody else's hands, is this team just that much? When he's off the floor, they're not great. The bench has been okay in the playoffs, right? We'll talk about that. But when he's off the floor, for the most part, they're not great. But when he's doing too much, they're not great. Is it that simple? Was that the key factor last night?
I don't know if it's the biggest factor or if it's that simple. It's Jokic has said it himself. He is a pass-first player. So rather than, hey, we're going to just let him score, your focus is we have to stop him from passing. He's going to score. He's going to get rebounds, whatever. Can we stop him from using his greatest weapon? And that's his passing. And even if he does get the passes off, that's one thing. It's another thing when his teammates aren't making shots. Because now your defense, you don't have to adjust to it. Oh, I know Mike's out in three. He's not having a good night. I'm gonna wave off just a bit, not double Jokic, but I'm gonna be here so he knows the passing lane's closed, and I know he's not trusting his teammates right now.
Yeah, I think he took matters into his own hands. At some point, he's become that good of a player now, where he's like, "You guys aren't in the flow of this thing, man. I'm hitting you. You're not making anything. So I've got to take matters in my own hands." It's hard for me to look at and go, yeah, Joker scores 41. Nah, this team's just not as good. Any other team, any other formula, that doesn't work. You know, if Jimmy Butler scores 41 in this game last night, Miami probably is blowing the Nuggets out. That's most teams that are constructed with a superstar If their star's the guy, they're winning games, typically, a lot of times.
Well, that's what makes it frustrating, because you say, oh, if any other superstar goes for 40, they win. Jokic isn't every other superstar.
Right. The
so
whole
when
thing,
he does something that's incredible on other people's standards,
yep.
It fails for us because you didn't win.
Well, because he's a passer. You know, he told the ESPN article from last week was like he was mad about the MVP ideas because he said it. I'm a passer. I'm not like those guys. He can be. And that's what's so unique about him. One of the many things that's so unique about him is I truly believe that 9 times out of 10, if Nikola Jokic wants to, he can score 40-plus in a game.
Knowing that he doesn't want to, that he doesn't try to be that type of player, when teammates see him playing like that, does that put something in your mind saying, oh, Jokic is, I know he's peed off right now. He doesn't like to play like this, but we're not helping him out, so he's just going to go do his thing.
Did you get the Steve Kerr clip? Steve Kerr was on Draymond Green's podcast that he does, and I can't tell if I agree with this or I disagree with this. So this is Steve Kerr talking about Jamal Murray and who the real head of the snake is in Denver.
You know, you mentioned them starting Love. That allowed Jimmy Butler to guard Murray. Mm-hmm. And to me, it was like, I haven't talked to Spo or anything like that, but I can see them in their coaches' meetings saying, Murray's the head of the snake. You know, not Jokic. If you just look at it, you go, well, Jokic is the head of the snake. But mm-hmm. when you play a team, you sort of realize, wait a second. Like, that guy's going to dominate no matter what we do. So we got, this is the head of the snake. And I think they just decided Murray's the guy we got to stop. So you start Love, you put Jimmy Butler on Murray. And then you saw, like, they were blitzing Murray quite a bit and really trying everything to take him out of the game.
Fascinating world we live in. You know, the guy you're coaching has you on to be on his podcast. I don't know if I agree 100% with the terminology of it. However, it's not that far off of what I said at the beginning of the playoffs, Angel. Joker's going to be Joker. In order for the Nuggets to win a title and win consistently in these playoffs, it's going to be on Jamal Murray. Does that mean he's the head of the snake? I don't know that I agree with that. But I do think that Jamal Murray is the ultimate X factor in this series, beyond whatever, because Joker is so good now that he's going to fall asleep and score 30 or 25 or whatever. Jamal's the X factor. Does that make him the head of the snake? You take him out, you win the game?
I'm imagining this snake, and I'm imagining it just normal. It's got one big head at the front. And then it's got a little offshoot on its neck that's a leather little snake head. It distracts you with the big one.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I got to watch out. Those fangs in there, those are huge. And it distracts you, and then the smaller one comes, and that's the one that bites you. So when you put that into the Murray-Jokic two-man game, when they set that up, your focus is more on Jokic than Murray. Murray's moving around, or which either way, but you know, oh my God, Jokic is going to try to set up for a pass, or he's just going to do a step back. Crazy shot. Murray, you can say Murray's the head of the snake because he's more impactful, but Jokic is really what's driving everything.
When Jamal Murray has the Murray flurry, which that was in full effect last night, he had 18 points, but 10 of those points came in the second quarter, and he had his little Murray flurry, which is my new pet peeve. I can't stand it. I want a Murray blizzard. I want a 3-hour blizzard. Done with the flurries. But I will tell you this. When that's happening, the Murray flurry, it is more impactful. It packs a punch when it happens. Joker just kills you with 1,000 paper cuts. Slowly but surely, he just keeps coming. And eventually, chops your arm off. Jamal Murray is like, within a 3-4 minute span, suddenly he just scored 8 to 10 points, and the Nuggets are up by 5. They were down 10, now they're up by 5. So I'll give you that. He is more his scoring and his success can be very damaging to an opponent, and that's why it is so important for Jamal to go with Nikola Jokic. We don't see a Michael Porter Jr. flurry. We see sometimes where he'll hit 2 threes in a row, and there's been games where it's like, whoa, he went like nuts there, but nobody else on this team has what Nikola Jokic has or Jamal Murray. KCP's going to have a nice night sometimes. Porter's going to have a nice night. Gordon's going to have a nice night. The two guys that can destroy teams with their ability, it's Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray, and we've learned that more this year in these playoffs more than ever before.
I don't think this team is built in the way that if Porter goes off for 30, that's not a guarantee that you're going to win, because they're just, it's not built for one guy to have the most success or the most plays designed for him. It's kind of, okay, who's going to start off quick? You know, it's going to be Aaron. He's going to get three shots early, or Mike's going to get three early, or Murray's going to hit a couple of threes early. And then once one guy goes, everyone else is following. When it's, oh, okay, he's missing a shot. Okay, try here. Okay, he missed a shot. Try here. Now there's no rhythm. Nobody's in rhythm. And when you, this team works better when everyone's moving in the same direction. And when you don't get that early, it hurts the team throughout the game, because now you're playing catch-up the entire time.
Yeah. Well, Butler did a pretty good job on Jamal Murray. And that's something they're going to have to really pay attention to, getting those screens, finding ways for Jamal to get open. So that offensively has got to change. Michael Porter Jr. does have to figure out how to insert himself into the game.
They need to bring back what AG and Mike did. I think it was against the Lakers when Jokic and Murray went off the floor and it was just Aaron and Mike. They were running their own two-man game. I think everyone on this offense can run that version of a two-man game that Jokic and Murray do. It just looks a little different, but you could take advantage of that with MPJ and Aaron. You have a big size matchup there that you can switch to get a smaller defender on you.
Yeah. All right, on the rocks, liquor. Let's see. We're going to get our game beer of the week. And our game beer of the week is, looks like it's the same. Is it the same as last week? Is that right? The Apricot Blonde from Dry Dock. So we'll have that as our game beer of the week, courtesy of On the Rocks Liquor. Check them out. They're half a mile south of Highway 34 on 47th Avenue. We always got the game beer of the week for you. You might need a few of those Wednesday, as we get ready for a monster game three. The biggest game in Nugget. Every game continues to get to that point, right? The biggest game in Denver Nuggets history coming up on Wednesday. 37 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Cody Ward from the Locked On Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On NFL Network. Make sure that you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA for the latest news in Broncos country.
Want to shout out to Aloe Fiber. You guys have heard me talk about it. You've heard Brian talk about it. You've heard the ads. It's time to look into it. You know, if you're in this area, find out where they're starting to work, too, because I know in Eaton they're starting to do stuff there. We've got a lot of listeners there throughout spots in Greeley. They're growing. They're expanding. So if your shows are buffering and your games are lagging and your calls are dropping, I'll give you the FYI. Your old school internet can't keep up. Their network isn't enough. It's time to fiber your internet with Aloe. Visit alofiber.com/FYI. Eastside Chris texting in. That's an interesting thought there. Guys, if you could bring back an old Nugget or Rocket, I wouldn't go that far back, Eastside Chris. Not for me. At his prime, who would you choose to help this team win its first championship? Well, who's the weakest spot? What's the weakest spot in the starting lineup? I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that, but it's fun to fantasize. Who's the weakest?
I wasn't going to go starter. I was going to go Mason Plumlee.
You're not going to bring... See, I'd be like, you know, take KCP out and put Alex English in. If we're getting,
I didn't watch Alex English.
If we're rubbing a genie here and we get magic suddenly, he said, Chris, then you might as well go for broke and go with the second best Nugget, third best Nugget to ever do it. Why wouldn't it be Melo? He doesn't flow with this team. It wouldn't be Melo. The question would be interesting if it was like, you can't pick one of the legends, meaning Dan Issel's out, David Thompson's out, Alex. See, I like Gallo in his prime, man. He would be fun.
Well, after all of his complaining, we may need to bring Austin Rivers back.
Oh, could you find that too? I want to get that. Austin Rivers.
I don't know if it's clean, but.
Yeah, maybe not. He just lit the Nuggets up. He's mad that they're in the. He's jealous. Listen, We're all human. I would be a little weird too. Like, Angel, if I quit KFKA and next year you guys get nominated into the greatest radio station in the history of the world, I'd kind of be like, damn, they did that and I'm out.
Austin Rivers said, it bothers me that they're in the finals. It bothers me that I didn't get to play with Jamal. I'm bitter. I'm salty. I'm all that in between.
And that's true. He didn't get to play with Jamal because he did. Did Rivers play for the Nuggets for 2 years? Was it two seasons? He got to play with Jamal, but not in the playoffs. And he doesn't like the whole take of, well, now this roster is complete. Because who's that a knock on? Anybody that was on the roster last year that's not on the roster this year, that is a knock on those guys.
Remind me where Austin Rivers was coming off of the bench.
Yeah.
Making maybe 2-3 shots a game.
Rivers wasn't it, but he's I get it, but I wish it would have been a little more, you know, hey, no, I respect those guys, love those guys. Yeah, there's part of me that's kind of dying inside because I'm not a part of this.
We didn't cast you aside and say you're not part of this. You're saying you're not on this team, but we've been talking for weeks about how this is a championship for all of the Nuggets.
Yeah, but not Austin Rivers. He doesn't count.
No?
Nah, not.
Who gets it more, Austin or Bones?
Oh.
Bones was on the team this year.
Well, now Bones Bones is kind of a jerk to the Nuggets, too. Bones was... We at one point thought Bones was the future, along with Joker and Jamal. We never thought that about Austin Rivers. So I would say Bones...
He was on his third team by the time we got to the Nuggets.
Yeah, I would say Bones would be... Rivers was just a rental guy. Bones actually was possibly going to be a future plan. Rivers was a rental. Although I disagree on giving. If you aren't a part of the playoffs, you don't get a ring. If you aren't in a playoff game with the Nuggets, now if you get hurt, yeah, he gets a ring. He's on the roster.
What do you do?
He's on the roster.
Bones is on the roster.
Not anymore. Not when they got in the playoffs.
You're splitting it by just the date, you know?
If you're on the team when they win the title, you get a ring. The water boy gets a ring. You know, Jack White gets a ring. Not the White Stripes guy. He doesn't get a ring unless he's actually helping out the team. But no, Bones doesn't get a ring. P.S. Bones Highland is number one fan. He can get a ring. What's Nuggets playoff record when Joker has 5 or less assists? Well, I don't know. On those 3 games that they lost, what was his assist numbers? That's an interesting thing, too. They hadn't lost in a long time. When's the last time they lost at home, Angel? Is it March? I mean...
I think it's back in, I want to say, right around March Madness.
Are you kidding me? Wow. Okay, here's a little experiment then. We can look this up right now. When the Nuggets lost to Phoenix in Game 3, Joker had 30 points and 17 assists. When they lost to Phoenix in Game 4, Joker had 53 points. Oh my gosh, that was a monster game. And 11 assists. And then with the Heat game, of course, they lost there. Why can't I find the Minnesota game? There it is. He had 43 and 6 assists.
So last night was 4. The 2 other lowest times were 5 assists, and that was games 1 and 2 against Phoenix.
And they won those games. So are we making too much about the 40-plus thing for Joker? Are we making too much of it?
Probably. It's just an interesting stat, like we said, with if Giannis or Embiid went for 40, there's a good chance their team's won. And it's frustrating because Jokic isn't Giannis and Embiid. He's obviously different and better in some cases, but he's the type of superstar where he's going to score 40, mm-hmm. and he may not win the game.
Yeah, it's a strange... Well, he's shooting free throws last night, and the crowd's chanting MVP, and Bruce Brown's standing behind him, and Bruce Brown starts quieting the crowd, and the optics of that would look weird if that was your first time watching the Nuggets, because you'd go, why is his teammate telling the crowd not to chant MVP? Well, Joker has made it obviously known he does not like the chants, and the crowd actually followed the rule, and they stopped chanting.
Well, I mean...
It's a weird thing.
It kind of felt Jokic was the MVP of the team last night. Yeah. He was really kind of the only one really working hard.
They weren't going with him last night. They just weren't. I mean, Jamal hit the key buckets late, but it wasn't enough.
I know we don't want to get into it about officiating, but some of these calls that they, the goaltending call that they missed.
Terrible.
The
Why can't
Jimmy
you
Butler
review
that? Making an assist with a foot out of bounds. The three in a row out of bounds calls that should have been at least looked at.
Yeah.
Maybe not a full challenge, but they had one, went to a timeout. Go look at it. You have a 3 minutes commercial break. Look at it.
But, okay, Angel, why can't KCP hits a three? The ref can look at that mentally and go, oh, his foot might have been on the line. But we don't have to stop the game right now. We can go back and look at it, and then you'll hear it. You'll go to a commercial, you'll come back, and you've heard the commentator say, actually, they did rule that that three was a two. His toe was on the line. Why can't you do the same thing with a missed goaltending call?
There's no reason. We have the technology. We have thousands of cameras on this thing.
Yeah.
You should be able to just put it into a computer,
it
and it'll tell you the ball's flight pattern. Okay, it reached the peak. Now it's dropping. There's the block.
Next. Clock stoppage, we go look at that. They do it for three-pointers. So this is my problem with replay. You either do it all or you don't do it at all. That's my biggest issue with this. So if you can go back and say mentally, oh, KCP's foot might have been on the line, we'll go back and look at that next time the ball
like
stops.
Fans will complain, oh, it's slowing the game down. This is the finals. It's, you need to be on your game.
And goaltending doesn't happen very often. So that was goaltending. And again,
and oftentimes goaltending is obvious.
And again, I know that the game takes on its own life if they found out that that was 2 points. But if you just want to look at the score, the Nuggets are down one in that last 13 seconds. And again, it's not even, I feel bad about even saying that because the game changes.
It's amplified because it's in the fourth quarter and you're tense and all that, but that was a key play.
That was a key play. 2 points is critical in a tight game in the finals. 11:50 the time. We're going to take a quick break. We'll wrap up hour number one. We got the lunch rush coming up next. I also have some American bullfighting tickets to give away for the Greeley Stampede Saturday, July 1st. Our ticket giveaways are made possible by our great friends at Lemons Heating and Cooling. But I'm going to give those away. Let's do it now. You know what? Let's not mess around because I got a lot of tickets I want to give away today. American bullfighting, Saturday, July 1st at 1 o'clock at the Greeley Stampede. I have heard amazing things about the bullfighting. Let's go caller number 6 on the First Advantage hotline, 970-353-1310. 970-353-1310. That's caller number 6. It's a whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Baseball in Colorado is electric. Hear it all on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Cody Ward from the Locked On Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On NFL Network. Make sure that you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA for the latest news in Broncos country.
I'm going to tell you guys about a new sponsor of the show, Hikes Ace Hardware. They're veteran and locally owned. I mean, it's the Ace. It's Ace, man. Everybody loves Ace, but then you add in the fact that they're veteran and locally owned. It's the best of both worlds. They're Greeley's original hardware location since 1954. They offer military, first responder, and educator discounts. You can check out their store for details. They're here in Greeley at 1722 9th Street. Give them a buzz, 970-353-1416. That's Hikes Ace Hardware. Tight-knit brewing poll question of the day. On a scale from 0 to 10, what is your panic level situation looking like right now? I'm going 1.5. I'm not panicked. I'm disappointed. I'm, you know, obviously you're tied 1-1, but I think the Nuggets are a better team. We got the majority of the hooligans saying 10. No. Seriously? You're that freaked out by this? Get out of here with that. All right, 11:57 the time. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we got the lunch rush. An interesting story going on in Dallas right now. I didn't even know if this was legal. So I got to get to that. Some NFL news and a few other things we'll hit in the lunch rush, too. Adam Carriker is going to join us as well. Former NFL player putting on this awesome local football camp in Loveland. We'll give you some details about that later on in the program as well. It's the whole show. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.